They trusted. They went with the Saudis. They went with the Americans. They got burned. This is mainly, you know, addressed to the Sunni brothers and sisters.
Yes, absolutely.
Look at what has happened in the last year.
Yes. Particularly in Egypt, yes.
Egypt, in Turkey, and all those places where the so-called, you know...
Brotherhood.
The mainstream, moderate, the proper, you know, Islamic movements, the minute they aligned themselves with the Saudis and with the Israelis and the Americans, they got burnt.
They got burnt,
They got stabbed in the back.
Exactly. And Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, was warning against this kind of thing, wasn't he? He was telling them...
Why are you still having such problems with Shias?
Exactly.
What's your problem?
Yeah.
Who's been talking about unity since, you know, 40 years?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's been supporting, you know, Sunni resistance movements like Hamas?
Like Hamas in Palestine, yes, absolutely.
Right? Hmm. Who is the one that's, you know, supporting, you know, getting support from Israel?
Exactly.
And getting support from America and getting support from the Saudis. The Saudis... You know, Morsi comes to power, Saudis give him a couple billion in order to buy him off.
Yes.
The minute he's overthrown, the first person congratulating, you know, the military in Egypt is Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
General
Sisi got a pat on the back there. Yes, absolutely.
You want Al Saud to be your leaders? Is that the kind of leaders you want? Forget about Sunni Shia.
Yeah.
Is that who you want to be your leader? Or do you want somebody who's been talking about unity, who's been living on it for the last 34 years.
Exactly. Exactly.
Who was able to become independent from their, you know, previous imperial master, who's, you know, everybody's educated, everybody's participating in the elections, everybody's, you know, has a future. And yes, there are difficulties, of course, there's sanctions, there's things that all so-called developing countries are going through, but where would you rather be today?
Yes.
Where is
That's
the
a very good question. Very
Where
good
is the
question.
Future today?
Yes.
Right?
Quite.
So now you have a generation of youth in the Muslim world who are either faced with becoming Takfiris or, you know, becoming westernized, you know, servants of America and Israel. That's it. These are the two options they're giving you.
My God, they're both ugly. No, you know, not a choice I'd like to make. Not a
right?
choice
this
I'd
is,
like to
is,
make.
This is the way... And, you know, either way, you're abandoning your religion.
Of course you are.
Right?
Of course you are.
Either way, you're going against the precept of your religion.
Yeah, exactly.
Against the Quran, against the Sunnah.
Yes.
If you become the servants of non-Muslims, you're going against it. If you become Takfiri and, you know, organ-eating cannibals,
yep.
you know,
yep.
you're going against your religion. So
sure.
they're basically saying to you, you got to give up your religion. So why do you have a problem with Imam now still?
Exactly. Exactly. It's a very good question. It's a very good point.
Didn't Imam show a successful way of being able to maintain your religion?
Sure.
And
the other thing I wanted to raise, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi,
and
was...
And maintain your servitude to God and to maintain your allegiance to the Prophet, peace be upon him, without having to become a servant, without having to become a crazy...
A slave.
You know, lunatic.
A lunatic, a slave and a lunatic.
Organ eater.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that good? Isn't that a way to go? Isn't that maybe an option you should start considering?
Well, I must admit and I must confess, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, that Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, you know, he began the whole process of Unity Week. You know, he came up with this Unity Week, this conference by which we could all come together on the birthday of the Holy Prophet. Doesn't matter about the differences of what we understand historically.
I mean,
that was the genius of the whole thing.
Instead of turning it into a point of contention, he said, okay, one rivayat, one hadith is this day, the other one is the other one. So we'll have the whole week.
We'll have the whole week to celebrate the Holy Prophet's
birthday. We'll celebrate the whole week. You know,
why not?
Because it's a week apart or
why
whatever,
not?
A couple
days
apart.
We get 2 weeks for Christmas, don't we?
Right. So then you have what's day, you know, which is the final Friday of Ramadan.
That's right,
you know?
Yes.
I mean, excuse me, are the Palestinians Shia? Is that the reason why we support
them? No, I don't think they are, as far as I remember.
I mean, who supported the Palestinians more than Imam and his movement? And
that's
the Islamic
right.
Republic?
Which
country? Who's paid more for this stance in the international era than Iran?
Absolutely.
So why are you still stuck with this? Why are you still following people like Al Saud and these, you know, ignorant people? Who claim to follow Islam, but they're just servants of the non-Muslims. When are you going to wake up? When are you going to finally get it? Look at what happened to Morsi. Where is Morsi today? The first democratically civilian elected president of Egypt.
That's right.
Just think about that.
Yeah.
Why? Because instead of going and becoming close with those people who were supporting you for 40 years, when everybody else, when, you know, you remember at the beginning in the 80s,
who was supporting
Ikhwan in Egypt when they were all being sent to prison and being executed?
It was Iran.
Right.
It was the Islamic Revolution.
Right. And so what happens? So instead of going and, you know, sticking with the one that's proven itself to be the real deal.
The real deal. McCoy, that's right. Yes.
The real McCoy.
The real McCoy. The voice of the voiceless.
You go, you know, trying to satisfy the Saudis and, you know, calling Shias Najis and, you know, whatever.
That's right.
You know, talking about the way they did about Hezbollah in Syria and whatever and all that stuff. And what's the result?
Well, there we are. I think that
you know,
says
your own defense minister does a coup d'etat.
Yeah.
And, you know, now you got the Europeans and the American envoys coming and telling you, well, you know, just accept reality. Let's move on.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And so I think you know, the more we progress in history, the longer we are around and we see the things as they are happening, the more we realize that from the very, very beginning, Imam had gotten it right all the way.
All the way, he was. I mean, this is the miracle, isn't it? I mean, this is the genius of it all that just shows the, you know, some kind of divine quality that of the Imam that he.
Well, if you're connected, you're connected,
yeah.
and it's not anything mysterious. You have to be careful the way you said it. People might think there's some sort of we're trying to. There's nothing mysterious about it. This is the normal way that Allah works.
This is the normal way that Allah works.
Quran,
you're quite right, sir.
I stand corrected. Yes. Yes. You have to be careful the way you talk about these things because this is exactly the things they use against us.
Yes.
When you read the Quran, this is a normal cause and effect.
Allah normal says, cause and effect,
trust
yes.
Trust me, I will take care of you.
Quite.
This is not a miracle. It's a normal way that Allah does things.
Yes.
He says, I'm your wali. What does that mean? Not Tawhut, not, you know, others are your wali. When you trust in Allah the way Imam did, you will be successful.
You will be successful, absolutely.
More than that, we even have the ayat in the Quran, which all the Mufassirin, Sunni and Shia, say that refer to Imam Ali alayhi salam. And they talk about being the ones that are successful and being the ones that are the party of God and
being
the ones that will be, you know, the ones that are in this world, successful in this world and in the next.
That's right.
So why don't you follow the Quran? Forget about the Hadith right now. We're not talking about Hadith.
No, we're talking about Quran, yes.
I'm sorry, because you are Mr. Hadith, so I apologize.
No, the Hadith is always secondary. It's a secondary source. The primary source is the Quran.
Imam, when he talked about what he did in terms of how we should live our Islam and how we should be active politically.
Yes.
He was talking Quran.
He was talking Quran. Very nice. That's very beautiful. That's very beautiful.
So why don't you follow Quran?
Why don't you follow
Quran?
Because you said the Quran was kafi, wasn't it? It said that the Quran was enough. And the Imam proved that the Quran is enough if you follow it.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that when you follow Imam Khomeini, you're following the Quran.
You're following the Quran, absolutely.
It's not about Sunni Shia.
No, it's not.
Why was Imam successful? Why was the Islamic Republic successful?
Yes.
Why is the Islamic Republic successful? Why do we have great leaders like Rahbar, the supreme leader that we have?
Yes.
And he's a great leader. I mean, look at him. I mean, I'm talking about just, you know, as a Muslim, looking at somebody as a religious scholar, as a political leader.
Yes.
Who is guiding us.
Yes.
Isn't it great? You know, thank God we have somebody like him.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, and this is not about, you know, hero worship. This is about thanking God for, you know, putting the appropriate leaders for us.
Exactly.
Before there was Imam.
Yes.
And, you know, and the reason these people are good leaders is because they follow Islam. They follow the Quran. They follow the school of Ahlul Bayt, the Islam that is taught by Ahlul Bayt. And God says that if you do this, you will be successful.
You'll get good governance.
You won't be oppressed. You won't be, you know, 1 minute the president, the next minute in jail.
In jail, yes. I mean, this is what we can say about the beautiful scene that we saw just very recently with Dr. Rouhani's inauguration as president, that how smoothly things were transferred.
Exactly.
It came with a kiss from the supreme leader. You don't get kissed often as a president,
again,
do you?
Again, let's make it real for a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the speech at that time, what was the main point that the supreme leader talked about?
Sure.
He said, it is a great blessing that the transfer of government in our country is done peacefully.
It's done peacefully. Absolutely. Absolutely.
He said, this is one of the greatest blessings.
This is a great thing. Absolutely.
And then he said, look at Egypt.
Look at
all
Egypt.
The other countries.
Yes, he did. He did compare it. Of course he compared it.
So look at us. Mm. We followed Imam. Imam was following the Quran and the school of Ahlul Bayt, which is Faghalain.
Yes.
Quran and Ahlul Bayt, which is back goes back to what the Prophet says.
Yes.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, I will leave you two weighty matters. I will leave with you two weighty things.
Sure.
The Quran and my Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
And if you follow them, you will be successful. So why don't you follow them?
No, that's
why
a very good question. It's a very good question to our audience.
Why are you going after people and things that have no value to you?
No.
Will lead you to zulamat.
Yes,
no,
and will lead you astray.
They will lead you to darkness.
Darkness.
Look at what happened to Morsi. Make it a lesson for yourself.
Mm.
Look at these poor guys in Turkey, in Ankara.
Absolutely.
They don't know what to do now.
There's the same problem in Tunisia. I mean, this is widespread, you know. I mean, Libya is in absolute chaos. I mean, what can you say?
You know, so this is the thing.
Mm.
When Imam came, there were, you know, the humanity, and especially the Muslims, were thirsting and were completely in need of guidance.
Yes.
The guidance, that's the real guidance. If you're going to have... go back to our example that we used in the previous program.
Yes.
If you have the computer and then you put the wrong
software
in it,
it doesn't work.
Have it working for a while, but then there's so many bugs in it and there's so many problems with it that eventually it crashes.
It crashes. Very good.
Good. Are we now talking, you know?
I think so. It's the same language.
You get it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's a very good paradigm. It's a very good model to express
the
idea.
It might work for a while. It's like, you know, it's okay, should we go further on this? It's like Apple versus Windows, okay? Okay?
Yeah, chalk and cheese.
You know, you're going to have certain operating systems. They might work for a while, but they've got so many bugs and problems in them, they're going to crash after a while.
Well, they're going to crash, exactly.
Some of them don't even work to begin with. Mm. Others, they work for a while and they crash. What you want is you want the one that doesn't have the bugs in it.
That's right. It's got the antivirus in it, you know. It's.
It doesn't even need the antivirus. All this stuff.
Very good point. Yes, it doesn't even need the antivirus. You're absolutely right.
Right.
Yeah.
So, when you're a Muslim, and you have a person like Imam coming and living at approximately the same time you did, right? You have no excuse on the Day of Judgment then.
No.
You can't say to Allah, I didn't know. He said, well, you didn't know. Well, there was Imam. He was on every channel on TV.
That's a very good point, yeah.
Right?
I mean, I watched him on News at 10, you know, on ITN in the UK, so I don't have much of an excuse either,
right.
You know.
You know, 50,000 websites, you know, hundreds of books, you know.
True.
What's your excuse on the Day of Judgment? I didn't know. Of course you knew.
Of course you knew.
You knew, not only knew because of the Quran and the Rivayat that were, you know, available to you, but more than that, it's you had somebody who, you know, is an Islamic scholar.
Yes.
Who is a practicing, you know, Muslim, who is a political leader telling you.
Yes.
So alhamdulillah, those of us who were, you know, fortunate enough to have been living in his time, you know, alhamdulillah, because he really taught us real Islam.
Sure.
Because who knows where we would be without him?
Oh my goodness. I think the tyranny of the Shah would still be continuing to this day.
You know what's even worse than that? We would be caricatures of Muslims.
You would be. That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely
and you too,
true.
By the way.
I know. I wouldn't be here for a start. I mean, where would Scottish independence be? You know, I don't think anything would have happened.
Well, I'm trying to simply say that even if you were Muslim, which is inshallah we would all be,
inshallah.
But we would be very, you know, it would be a caricature. It would be a very kind
yeah.
Of,
I mean,
know,
I don't know. Maybe I would have been in another
weak,
faith.
A weak version of it. You know, yes. We have this thing. I mean, Imam comes and tells us, look, if you want to do Islam, it's all of it. It's holistic.
It's holistic
package. It's a full program.
Full program. Yep.
It's, you know, it's your night prayers, and it's, you know, your political activity during the day. This is also what Supreme Leader talked about. We talked about in the previous program.
That's right.
That, you know, he would pray at night and beg for mercy from Allah, and you know, have that kind of
faith and trust in
God,
Allah,
which is what you want.
Yes,
that, you know, you have nothing and you have to get everything from Allah.
Get everything from Allah. Yes, absolutely.
And during the day, he would, you know, come out like a, you know, lion and be a champion of the Muslims and be the one that
and the champion of the oppressed. Yes, absolutely.
Of all the oppressed.
Absolutely.
So this is what Islam is. It's not just, you know, praying and fasting. It's more than that. It's good. You pray, you fast. That's the basis of it.
That's the basis of it. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So again, nobody should misunderstand what we're saying. We're not saying you shouldn't.
No, no, we're not saying that. No, this is the basis of it.
We're saying that's the minimum.
That's the minimum, yeah. That's the minimum, absolutely.
And I'm not claiming that I'm any better than anyone or that I do more than all that.
No.
Maybe, you know, I'm doing the minimum as well. But that's the minimum. Don't think that that's the maximum. That's not the maximum. That's just the beginning.
That's just the beginning, yes.
The maximum, or close to the maximum, is what you see with a person like Imam.
Imam Khomeini.
The real maximum is what you see
Rahmatullahi with the Prophet, absolutely.
Him,
may God bless him.
And with the Imams, alayhi
salam. Sure.
Right,
so because it's all about us trying to become to achieve some kind of perfection and salvation in this world. And Imam Khomeini, may God bless him, gave us a living example of what that could be in this century,
right,
and beyond.
Right, and it's not just this kind of, you know, parochial, you know. I mean, it really. I think about it, and it really upsets me to think about that they would turn Islam into this kind of very, you know, unimportant thing of like, oh, just, you know, the way you clean yourself and the way you pray. And like, that's it. Allah, all the 125,000 prophets because of that, you know.
My God.
All the wars, all the struggles, you know, all the struggles of the Prophet, peace be upon him, all the struggles of the Imams, you know, Shahadat, you know, Karbala, Ashura, because of that.
No, it's ridiculous.
Is that it? I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's a ridiculous notion that this would be Islam. It's a ridiculous notion that Islam wouldn't be political. It's a ridiculous notion.
Absolutely.
It's not even worth discussing.
No.
You know, this is the problem
it's a very serious point. You know, this is something that really our listeners
problem.
Must
for 34 take years, we're trying to explain to the Muslims themselves that no, really, Islam is political. It's not even worth discussing. It's not even... Of course, it's political.
It should be something second nature to you.
Of course, it's political.
Yeah.
Of course, it has to do with society. Of course, it has to do with helping the poor. Of course, it has to do with helping the oppressed.
Yeah, and establishing an Islamic civilization, a system by which we live
and
die.
Establishing Islamic governments is just the first step for that.
Yes.
The next step is, and the ultimate goal is Islamic civilization.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, and we're not the ones that are imperialist and wanting to impose it on all of humanity, because that's what's going to happen when we have Zuhur.
Yes.
In terms of, that's not our job. Our job is not to impose things on anyone.
No.
Okay?
No.
I don't even know what's going to happen after Zuhur, but that's not even my concern right now.
No,
because
no.
Zuhur is going to happen, and you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
That's that. But at this moment in time, we're concentrating, as you say, on getting the foundations in place.
At this moment in time, our goal is to build a strong, powerful, you know, enlightened, conscious, you know, ethical, moral Islamic civilization. All of us. Every part of
Sunni, Shia, everybody. Everybody's involved in this.
Those living in the Muslim majority.
Yeah, this is a big
Africa,
project.
Asia, you know, wherever.
Yeah.
Those living in non-Muslim countries who, you know, consider their primary existential reality and identity as being Muslim and not other things.
Sure.
Or those other things as being, you know, secondary to that. You know, that's your job right now. That's our job right now.
Absolutely.
We have to build Islamic civilization, and it has to be a beautiful one. And it can't be the takfiri, you know, organ-eating one.
No, it can't be. No. I don't fancy eating anybody else's liver right now. Yeah.
And it can't be the Turkish, Jordanian, you know, slaves and servants of America and Israel. Okay?
Yeah.
You get it?
Yes,
you see where
absolutely.
I'm going with this?
I'm going along with this.
It can't be the Al Saud, you know, authoritarian dictatorship, you know, passing it from one brother to the next, you know.
No, no. I mean, these are tyrannies, you know. These are tyrannies.
That can't be Islamic.
No, I mean, these are tyrannies. They've got to be got rid of. This has got to go in the past. It's got to go into the dustbin of history.
What it is that beautiful Islam, as Imam taught us,
yes,
as the Supreme Leader has been teaching us for these years, of how to stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim.
Yes, on the path of righteousness.
Becoming, you know,
yes,
extreme on the left, not becoming extreme on the right.
No, no.
Right?
Absolutely.
Focusing on knowledge, focusing on education,
wisdom.
Focusing on wisdom, focusing on, you know, building societies.
Absolutely.
Focusing on all these things that we see that this is what, you know, beauty is something that is fitra. Again, it goes back to fitra.
Yes.
You know, human beings recognize beauty immediately. Mm. You don't have to explain it.
No, you don't. No. This is something in part of their fitra.
When you look at a society like Iran, which went from being a, you know, feudalistic society, majority illiterate, you know, 50 years ago, to a society where the youth are all, you know, capable and educated and, you know, on the forefront of all these different things, who are conscious, who understand the world. I mean, isn't this beautiful? Isn't this what you want for your children?
Exactly. Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, I'm afraid once again, you know, time is against us, but, you know, we've run out of time on the program. But thank you very much indeed for that enlightening contribution to, you know, the life and times of Imam Khomeini. And, of course, we'll be speaking much more in the future about this great man, I think, you know, for all time to come. I mean, this was a personality beyond time. How can I put it? You know, I don't have the words even to express that as far as Imam Khomeini is concerned. May God bless his soul. But thanks once again, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, for being on the program.
My pleasure.
Thank you. And it just leaves me to say for our listeners, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope you benefited from the program. May God's mercy and his blessings be upon you all. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
First of its kind selfie museum in the Central American country of Guatemala is gaining lots of attention from excited enthusiasts. The selfie museum is located in Antigua, Guatemala, and is made up of 40 rooms or scenarios. Each room is a recreation of a colorful theme. Wallpaper, wings, greenery, neon signs, and other props are all present to spark the interest of visitors. One room includes a levitating bed, and another is equipped with a spaceship. Other rooms have familiar scenarios of presidential offices and comic book characters for visitors to take photographs in. Several artists participated in creating the art illustrations. In the the streets of the Chadian capital city, an actor is bringing culture to impoverished neighborhoods by organizing readings of poetry and plays.
Culture should be accessible to all. If we want to have a wonderful world, a harmonious world, everyone should be focused on the same dimensions to be able to dream together. And without culture, we don't be able to initiate development. And to initiate this stage of development, we need to invite people to think together.
The actor does not have a fixed place to tell his stories. He performs in public spaces and says it is his way of giving everyone the opportunity to discover and explore creativity. Among the activities Bonaventure organizes, one can name drawing with children and conducting acting classes. He believes music and theater bring other disciplines together, creating an avenue for enriching human connections. Residents, especially the children of the impoverished neighborhood, say they always look forward to Bonaventure's arrival. A zoo in Peru's capital city, Lima, is celebrating a rare hatching of endangered baby crocodiles. The Huachipa Zoo showcased three females and one male to the public on the World Wildlife Day. The four crocodiles were born in incubators as part of the conservation efforts for the reptile. This species is an American crocodile, which is on the endangered list of animals in Peru. Zookeepers say the black market and threats on their habitat have seen the crocodile population dwindle. The zoo regularly receives animals that were rescued from trafficking. Among those traits are tortoises, macaws, and monkeys.
The 2022 World Cup is reaching a fever pitch as hundreds of people line up at a shopping center in Qatar to take a picture with a trophy. The famous Golden World Cup trophy was unveiled during a ceremony at a mall in Doha, where excited football fans waited for their turn to see it. They were also given the option to take a selfie or have their photo taken professionally. While the competition is still nearly a year away, FIFA says more than a million tickets were requested within the first 24 hours after sales opened. The highest demand came from fans from Qatar, followed by Argentina, Mexico, and the United States, among others. Bangladesh is reviving the ancient tradition of producing a historically renowned fine hand-woven fabric called muslin. With the help of the government, the trade is making a comeback. Now, a workshop has been set up in Dhaka where weavers are being trained in the ancient art. They say it took them months to master the craft, working with incredibly fine hand-spun cotton yarns. The weavers say it takes them 8 hours to spin just 4 centimeters. Some varieties of the fabric are so fine that an entire muslin sari could fit inside a single matchbox.
There was a myth about muslin that it was so delicate that it would pass through even a small ring. Look, it's true. There is space to squeeze in another piece of cloth through this ring as well.
Breathing life back into this ancient trade was not easy. Officials with a revival project say there was little knowledge about how this fabric was made. Plus, the rare cotton variant, which makes this fabric so expensive, was also lost. The precious fabric was the most extravagant of its era and popular in Mughal courts. It was also imported into Europe for much of the 17th century and transformed the style of the aristocracy there.
An art gallery in London, Tate Modern, is hosting an exhibition with a remarkable span of surrealist works. The exhibition, dubbed Surrealism Beyond Borders, features more than 170 artworks ranging from paintings and sculptures to photography and films. Works by more than 150 artists from over 60 years are on the display. The exhibit also has a wide geographical span and includes surrealist artworks from different countries. Some of the most prominent artists whose works are being exhibited include Pablo Picasso, Salvador Dali, and Ted Jones. The exhibition will run until August 9th. Impressive, creative, wonderful. That's how visitors describe the works of Vincent Hoch, a Dutch post-impressionist painter being displayed in an impressive art exhibition in the Argentine capital. Hundreds of Van Gogh's paintings are projected onto the walls of the gallery. The image bloom and ripple in front of the audience, creating a 3D-like and immersive experience. Van Gogh was one of the most famous and influential figures in Western art history of the 19th century. He is largely remembered for his impressionist style, a break from the old traditional art technique. He is also famous for his turbulent life, which was made for outlandish, emotionally charged paintings.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Persian language takes center stage in a conference in Tehran dubbed Promotion of Persian Language on Global Scale. The event seeks to preserve the ancient language through teaching it to non-Iranians. Yusuf Jalali has more.
Persian language has been spoken for 3 millennia, but like every cultural heritage, it needs to be preserved. This is according to officials from Iran's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, who sat with Persian language activists to discuss ways to promote Persian through teaching it to non-Iranians.
Today is actually the Persian language day for me and for many of my colleagues. So if you allow me, I would like to continue in Farsi.
Thank you for this opportunity. The identity of a nation is a set of shared beliefs, shared culture and history, and all of these issues are reflected in the language that each nation speaks. So today, all of those who have a role in the promotion of Persian language gathered to exchange views on the preservation of Persian. And we at the Foreign Ministry will facilitate any effort made in this regard.
1,000 years ago, Iran had a poet named Ferdowsi whose poems are still popular and understood by our generation. This is significant and shows that Persian is an old language that has stayed intact through the centuries.
Saadi Foundation is the leading entity in the promotion of Persian language. Every year, the Institute, together with the Islamic Culture and Relations Organization, holds a number of Persian refresher courses in and outside Iran for non-Persian speakers. Recently, the Institute has launched online courses and published self-study books for Persian language enthusiasts.
By launching the online Persian training platforms, we saw a sudden increase in the number of applicants from different countries. This is because many of those who are interested in learning Persian gained an instant access to Persian teaching contents. At the same time, we continue to launch in-person courses organized by Iran's cultural attaches and hosted by Iranian overseas schools.
Persian comes from the Indo-European family of languages. The earliest versions of Persian date back to roughly 2,500 years ago, during the Achaemenid dynasty. Today, it is spoken by more than 300 million people in the world, and different dialects, including Dari and Pashto, in countries such as Iran, Afghanistan, and Tajikistan. Besides its significant impact on science, medicine, and astronomy, Persian has its own prominent place in literature and poetry. Khayyam, Rumi, Sa'di, and Hafez are only a few examples of world-renowned Persian poets.
Language is the identity of a nation, and through the centuries of its spoken and written history, Persian has grown to become the narrator of Iran's rich past and its ancient civilization. Now, as learning a language is learning a culture, experts here say promoting Persian on a global scale is translated into introducing Iran and its culture to the world. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
It is now well-established facts that animals feel, think, behave, and even experience pain. Thus, they should be treated with the same respect as humans, while a center in the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo is doing the same, life-saving services to injured apes. The sanctuary, located in a vast national park, has been active for 2 decades. The center houses scores of chimpanzees, gorillas, and endangered great apes. Bonobos and bombos as well. Most of the animals that are brought to the sanctuary were rescued from poachers. The staff there provide medical care to the injured animals until they are healthy enough to be integrated into a group of their fellow species.
Students and staff gather for sizzling meat sandwiches as they signal their orders with their hands at a food truck in Pakistan's capital city of Islamabad. The Abbe Cow is no ordinary food truck parked on the campus of the Millennium Universal College. It's fully managed and run by staff with hearing impairments. At the beginning of the queue, a diagram shows simple phrases in sign language which customers use to order their food and communicate. The food truck is Pakistan's first mobile restaurant entirely staffed by deaf workers, providing an economic opportunity for them.
Having the startup here at our campus has been really fruitful. Not only have we created more awareness around the sign language amongst our students, but we've also created an inspiration for TMUC students to look up and pursue entrepreneurship as a career choice.
The project developer, Aisha Raza, says the majority of deaf youth end up unemployed and face inequality and discrimination. She says she wanted to create an opportunity for her brothers to economically thrive. The goal is to bridge communication gaps between the deaf and hearing communities and help remove language barriers. The food truck is the brainchild of a family where both parents and their sons are either totally or partially deaf.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: ليس بلد بأحق بك من بلد، خير البلاد ما حملك.
أمير المؤمنين إمام علي عليه السلام stated: No town has greater right on you than the other. The best town for you is that which bears you.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. Of the programs To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We find, dear friends, that in the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, this first divinely appointed Imam, this living miracle of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we find that Imam Ali has taught us a certain kind of lifestyle, as well as these ethical and moral qualities that can really lead us to perfection, and they can lead us towards a happier life, a more satisfied life, a content life, if you will. It is interesting, there are many times when we say things that later on turn out to be quite harmful to us. I'm sure we have all been through one of these kind of instances where we didn't really think before we answered or we replied, or perhaps we said something out of anger or stress or frustration or grief. And then again, later on, we regret it that we said a certain thing. And so interestingly, well over 1,000 years ago, and I mean, sometimes we just very easily say 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a long time ago. But over 1,000 years ago, Imam Ali alayhi salam said that if you want to be immune from the harms and the damages of that which you say, remain silent. It is so interesting, but in today's day and age, it just seems like we always want to talk and we don't even want to think before we speak, even though that's one of these golden rules of life, right? We should think before we speak. And here Imam Ali is telling us, if you want to remain immune and you want to remain safe from these harms that are incurred upon a person because of what they say, then remain silent. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that we remain silent all the time, we never say anything, we don't talk to anyone. No, it just means that we should try to think before we speak, and that we should not be hasty in speaking. And so again, a very beautiful and profound lesson. If we want to stay safe from the harms of what we say, then practice remaining silent. Brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We'll be right back.
صبحا وكلشنا بيان تبقى عيني بدمع مشتبيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا رغي
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother. My name is Muhammad. After returning from the Battle of Siffin, Imam Ali gave certain pieces of advice to one of his sons. Historians consider him to be Imam Hassan alayhi salam, while others are of the opinion that he was Muhammadul Hanafiya. He wrote this letter in the form of a will. They deal with almost every aspect of life, which goes a long way to make a man successful in life, brave, humane, generous, virtuous, and pious. Today, I'm going to read to you an excerpt from the last will of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. My dear son, I convey all this to you, lest inordinate desires, temptations, and inducement should start influencing you, or adverse changes of times and circumstances should drag your name in the mire, or I should leave you like an untrained colt, because a young and fresh mind is like a virgin soil which allows things sown in it to grow verdantly and to bear luxuriantly. Then, I have made use of early opportunities to educate you and train you before your mind loses its freshness, before it gets hardened or warped, before you start facing life unprepared for the encounter, and before you are forced to use your decisions and discretions without gaining advantages of accumulated traditions, collective knowledge, and experiences of others. These words of advice and counsels that I give you will save you from the worry of acquiring knowledge, gathering experiences, and soliciting advice from others. Now, you can easily make use of all the knowledge which men have to acquire with great care, trouble, and patience. Things which were hidden from them and which only experiments, experiences, and sufferings could bring to light are now made easily available to you through these exhortations. My dear son, though the span of my life is not as that of some other people who have passed away before me, yet I took great care to study their lives assiduously I went through their activities. I contemplated over their deliberations and deeds. I studied their remains, relics, and ruins. I pondered over their lives so deeply that I felt as if I have lived and worked with them from early ages of history down to our times, and I know what did them good and what brought them harm.
Now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
In the Islamic faith, the position of Ali as far as Imamate is concerned is so pivotal that without him, Islam will lose its right bearings. Although I'm putting in these words, but these are actually the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen. In one of the early khutbas, which he issued after the Muslims accepted him as their Khalifa and their leader, he says, "Yanhadiru anni sail wa la yarqa ilayya at-tayr." He says, you know, the flood actually flows down from me, and the bird cannot fly up to my level. These are all poetic words he's talking about. He says, you know, basically describing himself as a very tall mountain, which has the source of water there, and the water is flowing down. He says, the benefit and the wisdom and the knowledge comes from me. It flows from me. In response to another statement where he has, in response to the letter that Muawiyah wrote to him, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen comes to a point, it's a very interesting letter, but for some other time, inshallah. We have talked about it previously, where Ali says that, you know, I hesitate to praise myself. So he goes into praising the Ahlul Bayt in general, and specifically Fatima, Hassan, Hussein, and Hamza, and Ja'far. But when it comes to himself, he says, you know, I'll just leave you with one word, one sentence. And he says, you know, for you it's enough to know. فَإِنَّ صَنَايَ رَبِّنَا وَالنَّاسُ بَعْدَ صَنَايَ عَلَنَا, that we are the direct recipients of the favors of our Lord, while others receive the favors from us, through us, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when he's talking about, you know, that I am the central point, the pivotal point, this is not only the issue of knowledge and wisdom and leadership, it is also when it comes to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he says, I am that flood which is flowing from the top of the mountain. And by saying that, la yarqa ilayya at-tayr, you know, no bird cannot reach to me, basically he's saying that I am such a tall mountain that even the most powerful bird cannot reach me. They can try, but they will never be able to reach to my position and my status.
Listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asl zinde ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned.
گفتم ببینید اگه تو پرونده حضرت ام البنین هیچی نباشه جز همین یه جمله
The late Ma Maqani in his book Ar-Rijal talks about the high status of Hadrat Umm al-Banin. According to him, when the news of the martyrdom of all four sons of Hadrat Umm al-Banin reached her, he states, "May all my dear sons and all entities be a ransom for the sake of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam and his cause." Politeness and courtesy can be found in this sentence of Hadrat Umm al-Banin. This is how a person must respect his or her imam. It is very much like the respect that Hadrat Maryam had for Hadrat Isa, Hadrat Khadija had for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or Hadrat Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha had for Imam Ali alayhi salam. Both Hadrat Fatima and Hadrat Umm al-Banin made sacrifices for the cause of Islam. It was true that Hadrat Abbas was the son of Umm al-Banin, the wife of Imam Ali alayhi salam. However, through the respect and politeness, Hadrat Abbas was promoted to a level that Imam al-Husayn, son of Imam Ali alayhi salam, calls him a true brother. What a blessing for Hadrat Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.